Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana welcomes you to the Marrow of the Message, a summary of the sermon preached on Sunday, August 12th, 2012. Before we begin, I would like to say hello and grace to you to my friend Gary, who listens regularly in Florida. Gary suffered extreme injuries in a car accident a couple weeks ago, and we just want you to know, Gary, that you're in our prayers at Sovereign Christ, and I'm sure that those who listen also to this program will be praying for your quick recovery and for God's will to be accomplished for you, for His glory, to the praise of Jesus. The message that we bring to you today is from a series which we began a couple years ago entitled The Doctrines of Joy, or Doctrines for Our Joy, and this message is concerning justification. And it's clear to see from what the Scripture teaches, justification is something that God has done, because the Bible says it is God who justifies. So what this means for us as Christians is our doctrinal claim to joy, to the joy of the Lord, is justification. Otherwise, if God did not justify, we would have no claim, at least none from our own position, no claim on the joy of the Lord. So what is justification? We'll spend our time today looking at that. From Romans chapter 3, we read a full passage on Sunday, but beginning at verse 9, Paul summarizes the sin problem of humanity. The great problem of humanity is there is no work, no accomplishment, no prestige within a human being to earn God's favor, to merit God's favor. So verses 10 through 20 tell us this so clearly. In fact, we'll begin at verse 20 of chapter 3. Paul writes, "Therefore no one will be declared righteous in his sight, in God's sight, by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin." Whether that be the literal law of God, which is published in the Torah, we see it in the Pentateuch of Scripture, or be it the law that God has written on the hearts of every human being, no man will be declared righteous by observing the law. It is that very law, even the law written on the hearts of humanity, that we become conscious of our brokenness, of our need, of our unholiness, our unrighteousness before God. Paul goes on to write, "But now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus." There's so much we could preach, but today we focus in on justification. But do you see what happens to humanity? All through Romans, up to this point in Romans, Paul's been making the case again and again and again of the absolute depravity, spiritual depravity of humanity. That there's no one blameless, no one without excuse. No one can perform in such a way that God will accept them. I think as a youth, as a young person, oftentimes we struggle with this concept of acceptance. You look at friends, teenage friends, peer pressure, or peers among each other, they want to do those things, that they find themselves accepted. They fear and worry, am I accepted? Will I be accepted? Do my friends accept me? Even as adults, we live in such a way, what must I do to be accepted? But put this before in our relationship with God, and most of us ask that question at some point in our walk with Christ, in our walk with Christ, we ask the question, how much is enough for me to be accepted before God? A mature Christian shouldn't have to ask this question, but many Christians do. I'll never forget a time in my life when I especially struggled with this. I wondered, how much do I have to do to be accepted by God? How much must I repent before God accepts me wholeheartedly? I had no anchor, nothing to hold me fast bound in faith. I'd never studied the book of Romans. I'd read through it a little bit, but never really thought about it too much. And I was thinking about Romans, looking at it through the eyes of flesh. But when I came to study Romans, and I began to see great phrases such as verse 21, but now a righteousness from God. This righteousness comes from God. I think every Christian begins to see at some point in their walk, the righteousness God requires comes from God. It's a righteousness that God has been proclaiming through the prophets and through the law from the very beginning. And it's very clear this righteousness is not a righteousness we work up from inside ourselves. It's a righteousness that God provides. This righteousness from God, verse 22, comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. And it says again, all have sinned. But why teach on justification? It's a big theological term, but it's a term that helps us. Again, man's bent is to work in such a way as to justify his existence, to justify himself, to show why I would be worthy of acceptance. I remember hearing a great message by trying to think of his name right now. It'll come to me in just a minute. But in this message, the speaker, the preacher, was adamant about the fact that this is absolutely necessary, that we learn that we are accepted. We are never accepted on our own merit. Well, Paul had the goal to help Christians realize there is nothing in and of ourselves that we can do to be accepted. It's not our works that cause us to be accepted. And we need to get locked in on this. And one of the emphasis in the message preached on Sunday was this fact that we have to be grounded in this understanding of justification in order for us to not be those that are tossed about by every wind of doctrine. We strive to justify ourselves. And we perform in life most of the time at a level which causes acceptance. We could see that each of us would strive for a level of righteousness that's accepted by people. Now, it was Tim Keller who I heard define righteousness in the following way. Righteousness is a validating performance record which opens doors. A validating performance record which opens doors. Pastor Keller used three examples, one being a resume. We hope that our resume, when presenting that to any prospective employer, would open doors. That our resume will justify our accomplishments. And the second being an academic record. If someone wants to go to a college or university or to a graduate school, something like that, they have to submit their academic record, hoping that that academic record will validate their performance in the past and open doors. That academic record will speak to the people that make the judgment and say, this person is worthy to come here. And Keller also points out that in every religion, efforts are exerted in order to connect us with the divine. Based on one's self-effort, what can I do for acceptance? The problem is, according to the book of Romans, nothing can be done which would be good enough to validate your performance in such a way that God would say he or she is accepted. Romans chapter 1 through chapter 3 verse 20 builds this case. And as we see in verse 10, Paul just underscores this by saying there's no one righteous, no, not one. In other words, there's no one, no validating performance record worthy of opening the door before God. None. No man can do this. Only God can do it. How did God do this for us? How did God justly provide a validating performance record for us that through faith we could have the door opened for us to come to God? Well, justification by faith is the heart of the gospel. And just to review quickly, Paul writes, but now. See, he's separating the fact that he's separating his arguments. He has made the case that there's none righteous. There's no one who seeks God. No one has a validating performance record in and of themselves. But he comes to verse 21. He says, but now. And this is the greatest halt in all of Scripture, I think. There's a change in the complete direction. He's saying all men have sinned, but now he's saying, and no one has a performance that will validate them before God. He says, but now, a righteousness from God. A divine performance record from God has been made known to whom? It's been made known to you and to me. A validating performance record from God, according to Keller, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. And he said, this righteousness, this validating performance record from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Through faith in none other than Christ Jesus and his work, his redemptive work, his righteous life, and his salvific substitutionary work on the cross. In his righteousness, he performed perfectly pleasing to God. His record was without flaw before God, completely accepted by God. Yet at the same time, he satisfied the justice of God through his death on the cross. As he propitiated God, he satisfied the justice of God and the wrath of God through one sacrificial act of giving his life, pouring out his life unto death on the cross for our justification. So Christ's life of righteousness and his perfect work of redemption is that which secures our salvation through faith. And this is according to the grace of God. So Christ's work is that which is validated by God, accepted by God. So when we think about salvation, so often we say, will you accept Jesus Christ? The first thing we have to see in salvation is, did God accept Jesus Christ? And the answer to that is absolutely, because in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, the Bible says, and he was raised to life for our justification. So summary point is, God presented the only one, the only acceptable performance record that opened the way to God. It's a record, not ours, but a record that is Christ's. And it's a record obtained for us by grace through faith in Jesus to all who believe in him. This is the gospel, and this is good news. The gospel calls you and me to abandon all hopes of personally attaining a righteousness that God accepts, because it'll never be done. The gospel calls you and me to receive the righteousness, that is, the performance outside of ourselves that God has validated. And this comes through faith. So by trusting in and receiving Christ, through this we have peace with God. We're justified as God is pleased with Christ and his work. And in Christ, we are accepted. The scripture says we're accepted in the beloved. We are in him through faith. The good news is that through faith in his blood and through faith in his sinless perfection, we are justified. In closing, I think justification adds one more dimension that we can't neglect. Again, I'm borrowing this from Tim Keller's message because it was so helpful to me. He found a quote from Marcus Loan. But he points out this, that justification obviously includes forgiveness. Our sins are forgiven. But biblical forgiveness says go. You're forgiven, go. Go on your way. There's no guilt. Biblical justification, though, says come. So at the same time, while we are forgiven, and we are also justified. So we are forgiven, God says go, there's no guilt. But when the scripture says that God has justified us, it means God says come. Marcus Loan is quoted by Keller as saying, to speak of forgiveness is to say, you may go. You have been relieved of your penalty. But to speak of justification is to say, you may come. You are welcome into all my love and all my favor. This comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Friends, being justified through faith in Christ is your anchor of assurance. In it, God says, you're welcome. Just as welcome in my presence as my beloved son. May the Lord grant grace as you consider these things in Jesus' name.